Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Little Sitara, Church of the Brethren. It is a joy to see so many smiling faces out there. I looked through the bulletin a little bit. There's a lot of good things in there, so pay attention as you turn inside to the centerfold. Camp Sitara has an announcement in there about sponsorship of their disc golf course. Our family has really grown to enjoy disc golfing, and I think it's a great addition to Camp Sitara. So if you'd be interested in helping them out there, I think they've already set up the disc golf course, but they're looking for help in paying for it. So if you're so inclined, you can reach out to them. There's a new elective Sunday school class, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. That's coming up in September. And Jenny and Craig are starting another Bible study in September, date and time to be determined. So look for future information about that. And then the country fair is coming up. So there are many things. So are there any announcements that I've missed that someone would like to bring attention to? All right, thanks. This is our time of worship, and it is a joy to come together as a body to worship our Lord. Will you join me in our call to worship? It's in your bulletin. Oh, yes, please stand. Thank you. There we go. Lord, you have blessed us with the ability to share with one another, to speak life and to encourage, to uplift and to journey together. May our words always be glorifying to you. May we always have your praise upon our lips. Amen. Opening hymn, number 48, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you. Y'all have got your praise going on this morning. That was beautiful. Those hallelujahs just, they warm my heart every single time. You know, praise isn't only for Sunday mornings, though. Do you know you can praise every single day of your lives? Let us be doing that, because praise is a good thing. Amen? I invite you to share any joys or concerns that you may have this week. As always, you'll see our prayer concerns in our bulletin. You ever wonder how you get a name in there? Just contact the church office, contact myself, and we'll put a name in there and just continue to give us updates as you know more about those individuals. Sometimes it's hard to get in touch with them to find out what's going on, so you'll continue to see these names on the list until they say, hey, I'm ready to be taken off. So it's all good. God is good. And Kenny's got a mic.
Just keep Herman in your prayers. He's heading tomorrow to specialists. He's having some health issues, and we're going to try to get him sorted out and figure out what's going on with him.
Right. Thank you. You got it.
I think we need to celebrate those people who have recently completed their college degree. We celebrated Jenna Gagliano yesterday, and I also want to call attention to the new graduates who have or are starting new careers. Also, I think we need to lift up all those college students that have headed off to college. A lot of them left this weekend or will be leaving very soon. And along with that, please get me their college addresses, especially those who have a birthday on August 31st. You know who you are. I have gotten a lot of them, but I'd like to keep up to date as quick as possible, because I'd like to get birthday cards off and other cards. So thank you. Thank you.
Arts to the Country Fair coming up Saturday. We hope to see you all there. Good old, you can bring your wallets and bid up all them good cakes and pies and stuff. And in regards to that, we are looking for more baked goods. It seems like the last few years it's been diminishing. People aren't baking as much many things to bring there. So we're looking for more baked goods from the churches. Let's see what else was there. Oh, we're looking for help in the kitchen too. Seems like we don't feel like we have enough people to help in the kitchen. So if you're willing to sacrifice an evening in the kitchen, we'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Rufus and Dorothy Murky, their younger son, Robert Fasig, they didn't know if he had a seizure or if it's from the tumor up in his head, but Hershey Medical called him, and as soon as they're ready, he's going to be going in to find out what's up. Okay.
My sister-in-law, Dorothy Aritz, is scheduled for open heart surgery on Tuesday at Hershey Medical Center.
Thank you.
I'd like to have a prayer from my neighbor, John, who's suffering from dementia and diabetes.
It's good to have those back from vacation. The Cobes are here this morning. The Myers are here this morning. So they're synced in ship and they're trained in crash, I guess we could say, huh? That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Let's pray to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this summer that you've given us. And Lord, we gear up for the fall. We know that there are new beginnings. There are new starts. There are those that have completed college. And we celebrate with Jenna this morning and others that have completed their college career. Lord, we know there are those that are just entering college, and we lift each of them up to you this morning and lift their parents up and siblings up to you. Lord, we know we'll feel the vacancy of that spot in our homes, but Lord, we know that we have trusted you to this point, and we trust you as they move on to their college experience. And those entering the workforce, we pray, Lord, you would just continue to bless them, continue to guide them, continue to let them know that you are with them as they do new things, as they try a new job. And we just pray that you would just allow each of us to continue to do what you have called each of us to do. We've been given different skill sets, different talents, and the jobs we have are opportunities to be able to not only serve you, but to be able to let others know who you are through the way that we work, the way that we communicate. Lord, may we be a blessing each and every day. We thank you, God, for this beautiful place, Little Swatara. We thank you for the sun that is shining outside. Lord, you know our hearts this morning. You know those of us that are grieving. We pray for comfort. You know those of us that are filled with anxiety as we consider that first day of school or first day of going back to teaching. And Lord, you know what this school year lies ahead, what is lying ahead for each of them. And I just pray, Lord, that we would just continue to have salt in our lives, that we would be flavorful, that others would be able to see Christ in us. And we just thank you, God, that we have that opportunity to witness in our schools. And we just pray, Father, for our administration, for those that are involved in a lot of the planning ahead of time. Lord, bless them as they prepare for those coming back to school. We lift up those anticipating surgery or upcoming appointments, and think of Herm this morning in a very special way, and just bless him, Lord. Whatever is happening in his body right now, we pray you would give the doctors wisdom. But Lord, we do recognize you as the master physician, and just pray that all the items that Herm may be facing, that you would allow to cease in the powerful name of Jesus. We pray that for Rufus's son and for Dorothy and for John as well, Lord. But if the surgery would be what needs to take place, we pray for steady hands of the surgeon. We pray for rest for the surgeon and those that are attending to the patients, Lord, and just give them such an unsurpassable peace as they enter into that time of surgery or appointment that they're facing. We do lift up the Bryant family. We thank you for Daniel and the consultation he was able to have with the psychologist, Lord, and just continue just to prepare him for the upcoming appointments that he'll have, Lord, as we move closer and closer to that surgery date. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the Bryant family and just allow Greg and Sarah and Lauren to know that we're lifting them up and they can just feel your loving arms wrapped around them. And thank you, Lord, for Carl Graby and for Kenny Ziegler and for Ruth Keeney and for Mel and for Kenny Wenger this morning, Lord, and others that come to our minds even now as we gather here this morning. We just lift everyone up, Lord. We know that you are a God that hears our prayers. We know that you are a God that is active and present in our lives. And we just pray, Lord, against any enemy schemes that may be going on in our lives, Lord, that we would remain holy and righteous, that we might be able to fight against the battle that we have spiritually. But Lord, we know you are in control, and we just surrender to you this morning and ask you to continually be on the move. And we just thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers of confession. As we know this week, there have been sins that have crept into our lives, and we just confess them, Lord, as well as lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Thank you, God, for hearing these prayers. Lord, this morning we praise you for the cross. We know apart from the cross, there's no forgiveness of sins. We know apart from the empty tomb, there's no promise of eternal salvation. So we thank you, Lord, for conquering death and for allowing us to be forgiven of the sins that enter our lives. And Lord, we pray each day we would just be mindful of you, that we would be determined to walk the talk. And we know, Lord, today is a very difficult topic for us as we consider our speech. And we confess, Lord, there's words that flow from our mouths that never should have. And we just ask that you would just continue to refine us. You would continue to strengthen us, Lord, as we consider that speech that comes from our mouths. And thank you for the book of James and the ability for it to just refine our lives, Lord. And we just turn to you now in this very hour and just ask that you would have your way in each of our lives. Thank you for your presence through the Holy Spirit here. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was inspired by Pastor Matt's call to worship this morning with the offertory in tying together two verses out of James chapter 3 and the call to worship. So as we come with our offerings, I want to think on James chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. The ways that we use our tongues and our finances are a reflection of what's in our hearts, of what's inside us. We should desire to bless God in our offerings, in worship, as well as our generosity towards our brothers and sisters. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, you have blessed us with the ability to share with you, our Creator, and with one another, to speak life and to encourage, to uplift and to journey together. May our offerings always be glorifying to you. May we always have your praise in our giving. Amen.
That are coming forward. Are there any other students in the congregation? I know we have Chad here. Any teachers in the congregation? Just put your hand up in the air real quick so people around you can see you. And what I'd invite you to do, just extend your hand forward. If you're near that individual, just put your hand on their shoulder and let's pray for those individuals. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to learn, for the opportunity to grow, for the opportunity to teach others. And we know, Lord, that with going back to school, there's anticipation, there's anxiety, there's excitement, and we just pray, Lord, for these students and for these teachers and for faculty and for administration, for anyone involved in the school in any capacity whatsoever, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would be able to allow their speech, their tongues to be controlled as they interact with other students, as they interact with other teachers and faculty, that we would be uplifting, we would indeed would be encouraging, and we would indeed be showing your love to others. So thank you for these students and teachers, faculty and staff, and just bless them in incredible ways this school year. Amen.
So I have a tube of toothpaste here, and we're going to do a little experiment. We're going to take the toothpaste, and I'm going to pass it around with this plate, and when you get the plate, I want you to say something mean, and then squirt a little bit of toothpaste out on the plate. Okay? Do you want to start? Something mean. You're a weirdo. That's a good one. I've heard that one before. Go ahead, something mean. Sure.
You're mean.
You're mean. Yeah, that's not very nice. Go ahead, squirt a big squirt out. We want to get that all empty by the end. Yep.
I hate you.
I hate you. Give it a good squirt. Yep. All right. You want to empty it out? Get the rest of that out of there? Go ahead. I wish you didn't have to be in my class. All right. Lots of mean, hurtful things. Now, our poor toothpaste is all nice and flat, and there's nothing left. Back in. You can't, can you?
No.
Anybody else want to try?
I will.
You want to try? Go ahead. So when we say hurtful words, they come out of our mouths just like the toothpaste comes out of the tube. And the same thing that happens with the toothpaste happens with our words. Once it's out of our mouth, we can't take it back. We can squirt all this toothpaste out and try and cram it back in the tube all we want, but it's not really going to go very well. And the plate's all messy, so the person that we say our hateful words to, their life starts to get a little messy. So our scripture today tells us that we need to be kind, and we need to make sure that we keep our tongues in check. And what that means is we need to make sure that we think about what we say before we say it, because we don't want to hurt somebody. And after we hurt somebody, it's very hard to make it clean and put the toothpaste back in the tube again. All right, so I hope you guys had fun. Let's do a little prayer. God, thank you today for these kids that are going back to school soon, and for all their teachers that are going to teach them for this next school year. And I hope that as they're going back to school, they look at their friends and their classmates and they think about what they're going to say before they say it. I hope, God, that you enter their mind as if mean words come and there's a nicer way that you can help them to find to express what they're feeling and say what they need to say so that everything turns out in their situations, God. Thank you for all of these little ones and what they do and how they spread your word. Amen. All right.
You know, there's certain words in the human language that befuddle us. They confuse us. They make us go, And two such words are tongue twisters.
Now, I always wondered what in the world these were. Why would I want to twist my tongue other than to make others laugh and to make myself feel stupid? Well, here's what I learned, and I was actually rather shocked. Tongue twisters are actually a great way to practice and improve pronunciation and fluency. No way. Now, that's pretty awesome, right? It can't get any better than that. But that's not it. They also help to improve accents by using alliteration, which is the repetition of one sound. Okay, mind totally blown. So I had to find a few of these just for fun. And remember, these aren't just for kids. They've actually been used by actors, by politicians, by public speakers who want to sound very clear while speaking. But I want to add one more piece of information about tongue twisters. They make us slow down and think about what we're going to say. Because what happens if we talk too fast? They simply make a blooper and an entry for America's Funniest Home Videos. So friends, as we open to the book of James, he's going to take us a bit further with the use of words and encourage us to also think before we speak, to take time before we speak, to sometimes even bite our tongues rather than say something we'll regret. We've all been there. Some people call it diarrhea of the mouth. We don't know how or when to close our lips. So this isn't just for you, it's for me too. And I stand before you and will be the first to confess I've failed miserably in this department. And before the end of the service, perhaps you'll be standing with me and confessing the same thing. There's a Greek sage who had it right when he said, "I have often regretted my speech, but never my silence." In other words, what we're about to speak, is it worth saying? Is it edifying? Will it uplift? Or is it degrading and tearing someone down? Is it spreading gossip and rumors? Or is it spreading God's love and peace? Friends, if you haven't figured it out yet, our speech indeed does matter. I don't think any of us would want this on our tombstones. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. Friends, we realize the tongue is the only double-edged tool that grows sharper and more destructive with constant use. But it doesn't need to be. We get to choose what we say. So just for fun, I need a volunteer. Is there a volunteer who wants to try some of these tongue twisters with me? Come on, Cheryl. Come on down. Oh, look at her shaking her head. Anyone? You're going to make me do this alone. I feel so sorrowful right now. Yes, Savannah. This is going to be so much fun. Okay, so what we're going to do, Savannah. Yeah, give her a round of applause. This takes a lot of courage. I'm going to say it first. They're numbered, okay?
Right.
And then, well, maybe I'll say it right. I've been practicing so much, my voice is hoarse. Ah, this is hilarious. Okay, so here we go. Three gray grease. Yep, see? I practice this one a lot. Three gray geese in the green grass grazing. Gray were the geese and green was the grazing.
Okay, oof. Three gray geese in the green garden grazing. Gray were the geese, and green was the grazing.
Up top. Don't worry, they get harder. Betty Botter bought a bit of butter, but she said, "This butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. But a bit of better butter will make my batter better." So Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter, and it made her batter better.
Oh.
We're going to get faster.
Betty Botter bought a bit of butter,
But, she said, this butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. But a bit of better butter will make my batter better. So Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter, and it made her batter better.
Woo! Wow. Okay.
Now, I've never seen these before. No.
How many of you have ever struggled with S's in school? You ever have to go to a speech therapist for the S? Mine was also the R. So you might remember these. We're going to just go all through number three because they're all dealing with S's. And when we get to the final two, it's going to get really, really fast. Okay. She sells seashells by the seashore.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
Sister Susie's sewing shirts for soldiers.
Sister Susie's sewing shirts for soldiers.
Slippery sleds slide smoothly down the sluiceway.
What is a sluiceway?
I have no idea.
So slippery sleds slide smoothly down the sluiceway.
The seething sea seetheth, and thus the seething sea sufficeth us. I didn't make this stuff up.
What are these words?
I don't know. They're off drawing. They're from online.
The seething sea ceaseth, and thus the seething sea sufficeth us.
Okay, now it gets tricky. You thought you were having fun. 9 out of 10 people cannot say these next two twice in rapid succession. So here we go. Sinful Caesar sipped his sniffer, seized his knees and sneezed. The six sheep's sick.
Sinful Caesar sipped his sniffer, seized his knees and sneezed. The six sheep's sick.
All right. Thank you, Savannah. Give her another round of applause. It's okay to have some fun in church. But here's the point. We really had to think about what we were saying. We really had to look at the words and decide how we were going to get them out of our lips without making a mistake. The words didn't actually roll from our tongues naturally. So even though these words were chosen wisely, we needed to say them correctly. How many times have we ever said, "I wish I could take that back"? Anyone? I wish I could take that back. Or, that's not what I meant. The words didn't come out correctly. And we are left saying, that's not what I meant. Friends, one of the greatest lies of all times is this phrase. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Are you kidding me? Words said on the playground when I was in grade school still haunt me to this very day. I remember more negative phrases that were used against me than any other words. Research tells us it takes 5 positive comments to make up for 1 negative. Think about that for a moment. Who's the last person that you spoke to in a negative way? That person is going to need 5 positive comments to make up for just that 1 single negative comment. The author Bacchus said it well. Many people believe that we just sin and that's all there is to it. And you may shrug and you may say, "I'm just a sinner. I can't help myself." But friends, you can help yourself. There is this psychological dynamic underlying sinful behavior. By changing your thinking, which is an act of will, you can change your behavior. Sometimes you may want to close the door on solutions that require some hard, difficult work on our part. You may prefer to sit back and wait for God to push some miraculous holy button within you, and presto, all your troubles are over. But friends, the reality is this rarely, if ever, happens. Every morning when you wake up with the same behaviors, whether they're good or whether they're bad, they're the same you exhibited the day before. Unless you've done something about them. My prayer this morning as we start to see the power in our words. Maybe there's someone here today that words said about you have destroyed you to the point you can't function. And I pray this over you. I pray to the Lord to bring healing and restoration, to erase the memory of these words in the powerful name of Jesus, to bring renewal, and I speak love, and I speak compassion and mercy and grace afresh upon you. You are a child of God, and you've been made whole, and no longer in Jesus' name can these words affect you. Now, friends, I invite us to open the Bibles to what I would call one of the most challenging chapters in the entire scriptures, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And as we've been doing through this series, I invite us to stand because this is the authoritative word of God. This is the holy word of God. And so I invite us to stand as we read these verses, and I pray the power of these words to change our lives forever. James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Lord, we ask that you would open our ears. In some way or another, this passage has affected all of us. And I pray that the words that need to be heard would land on our hearts and minds exactly where they need to be. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The reality is, no matter where we turn, someone is talking. All we have to do is turn on the radio, the TV, or the internet, or walk into a room, and it's very likely you'll hear someone talking down about someone else. Often you'll hear words like, "Did you hear?" Or, "I can't believe what so-and-so did." If you're in range of that lingo, my advice for you this morning, God's advice for you this morning, is to walk the other way, to turn it off. The reality is, friends, it is way too easy to get caught up in these conversations. And before we know it, we're riding the same speech train. But friends, know this morning, God still loves those people. But the question is, if we are walking the talk, how can we praise God one minute and in the next tear someone down? These are people that God loves. And as James has written, this should not be. Now, here's what we know. James is writing to many believers. So what we can assume is this must be his concern for the churches at large. Francis Chan writes, apparently there were people speaking badly, boasting about themselves, cursing others, and picking fights. And what James is saying is, shape up. So think about this. Who's being called out by James right away in the first verse? You're looking at one of them. And you probably know a few others. Teachers. So why do you think teachers will be judged with greater strictness? Francis says that we live in a day and an age when everyone wants to be the one who gives advice. Everyone wants to be the expert. And James is going to argue with us, are you so sure about that? Because God is going to judge you more harshly for being a teacher. And here it is again. Show, don't tell. Walk the talk. Live the righteous life. Follow the examples of Jesus. If you don't know where they are, they're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's that easy. And we're going to get it right every single time. So James follows this rule of writing to fantastic effect. Ships guided by small rudders. Imagine this for a moment. It's much easier for some of us sitting among us. You're on this gigantic cruise ship, multiple levels. But then the captain takes you to the rear and shows you what's going to be steering this massive ship. I don't know how comfortable I would feel knowing this small rudder in the back of this gigantic boat is going to take me in the direction I need to go. And it goes on and he talks about horses. Any horse owners in the room this morning? Does it amaze you every time you can put this small bit into that horse's mouth, this big creature, and it goes where you lead it? And then it gets a little personal. Forests set ablaze by tiny fires. There was a row of pine trees, very tall pine trees in the home we lived in many years ago. And there was a lot of brush that needed to be burned. And I thought in the corner of the lot would be the greatest place to burn this brush. But it happened to be very close to these pine trees. Now, it only takes a spark, it says, to light something. And before that spark even began, the neighbor on the other side of the pine trees comes running, shaking his arms. No, stop, don't light that brush. But in a young, naive man I didn't realize what could happen. And those pine trees could have been set ablaze. There were sheds near those pine trees. But the reality is it takes just a small spark. He paints these pictures to drive home his point that the tongue, it's such a small thing, but it has the potential to cause great damage. Friends, the tongue is such a powerful force for every one of us. And it truly affects the way in which we influence others. So maybe you lead a small group. Maybe you lead a family. Whatever it is that you're leading, what you say will have major impact. I've said it again, I'll say it again. Think before we speak. Consider the influence our words will have on our children, on our neighbors, on our students, on our friends. We often think we have power in our hands. But friends, there is much, much more power in our tongue. They can uplift or they can tear down someone who's made in God's image. While we realize, as James has said, it is impossible to tame the tongue, there's not a single human being on the planet that can do this. But friends, we know God can. So this week, together, not just one or two of you, together, united, every single one of us, let's ask the Lord to give us a tongue that seeks to bless him and bless others. May the words of our mouths be acceptable to him. And when we find ourselves speaking badly about someone, what I invite us to do is to stop in mid-sentence, if need be, and say a prayer for that person. God, we come before you. You know the words that have spewed from our mouths. You know the words that have brought rumors, that have brought gossips, that have torn people down, that have affected others. And Lord, we know that it's impossible on our own to tame it. So we're coming before you, a holy, righteous, mighty God. And we're asking you, God, to guide our speech, to help us to consider the influence we have on others. 5 positive comments to make up for 1 negative. Let that sink in for us, God. And let us be mindful of one another. Let us love, let us encourage, let us uplift. Let us be who you call us to be, walking the talk. May we always give you praise from our lips. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
knowing that he lives within our hearts. And that present reality, God living in our hearts, spurs us on to present this wonderful, glorious God to the world in the way in which he loves us. May it be so, in Jesus' name.